Thank you, Mike. Well, happy New Year to everyone who is tuning in. A New Year's message was my thought from Mike when he asked me if I would share on this first Sunday of 2025. I would say my text was, "Through faith and patience, inherit the promises." It's from the book of Hebrews, and it's verse 12 of chapter 6. Here we are at the beginning of a new year. We have to look back, I suppose, when we ever look about the beginning of a year to the past year. Maybe many of us have experienced some challenges. I certainly have. But also to look forward to the healing and transforming of God in the year ahead. This is the text really that we have for us tonight in this book of Hebrews. The verse says this: "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those whose faith and patience inherit what has been promised." As we step into this new year, we carry with us the memories, trials, and triumphs of the year gone by. For many, the past will have been a journey marked by profound challenges, testing the limits of our faith, endurance, and hope. For us here in our home, it's been that kind of year. It began with Francis in hospital. In fact, in 1 week, we had the emergency services out three times, twice for Francis and once for Doreen, our elderly friend who has lived with us since we moved here in 2014. She collapsed in her kitchen and broke the top part of her arm and needed the fire service to put her in a cocoon to carry her down the stairs into a waiting ambulance. Fortunately, the three firemen were burly figures and she was away for 6 weeks. In hospital, Frances eventually managed to see the stroke consultant, who confirmed that her continuing strokes are the result of narrow vessel disease and will cause ongoing mini strokes and long-term vascular dementia. On the 7th of February, she had another mini stroke and was admitted again into hospital. At that point, we took the family's advice to have regular carers each morning to provide support in washing and dressing and medication. As you can appreciate, prayer for ongoing healing continues to be part of our ongoing relationship with the Lord. During one of those crisis days, as is my usual practice, I came down to pray and seek God's guidance. I was reminded that some of the most powerful prayers in my life have probably been the shortest of my life. This morning, it was, "Lord, please help me." Immediately, the Lord spoke, "Lay hands on the sick and they will recover." I went up immediately and laid hands on Francis, and I thank God for an immediate change, although not a complete healing, certainly a positive step in the right direction. I guess for many listening to this message tonight, last year and included seasons where you have cried out to God, seeking his intervention and clinging to his promises. As we turn the page of this new year, we stand poised to embrace the assurance that God is not finished working out his purposes with us. This is the year to receive the answer to our prayers, a year to witness the healing faith that transforms the impossible into the reality. The difficulties of the past year have not been wasted. They have prepared the soil of our heart for the harvest of faith, healing, and restoration. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 encourages us not to grow weary or lazy, but to remain steadfast, imitating the faith and patience of those who have gone before us. Consider Abraham, who waited decades to see the promise of God fulfilled. His journey reminds us that faith is not a momentary act, but a lifelong commitment to trust in God's faithfulness. It seems all travel at times through difficulties in life. The Queen's Christmas broadcast in 1992 illustrates its truth. She says, "Like many other families, we have lived through some difficult days this year. The prayers, understanding, and sympathy given to us by so many of you, in good times and bad, have lent us great support and encouragement. It has touched me deeply that much of this has come from those of you who have troubles of your own. As some of you may have heard me observe, it has indeed been a somber year. But Christmas is surely the right moment to try and put it behind us and to find a moment to pray for those, whoever they are, who are doing their best in all sorts of ways to make things better in 1993. Earlier on the 24th of November of that year, the Queen gave a speech at Guildhall to mark the 40th anniversary of her ascension. She said this, 1992 is not a year on which I shall look back with undiluted pleasure. In the words of one of my most sympathetic correspondents, it has turned out to be an annus horribilis. I suspect that I'm not alone in thinking it so. Indeed, I suspect that there are very few people or institutions unaffected by these last months of worldwide turmoil and uncertainty. This generosity and wholehearted kindness of the corporation of the city to Prince Philip and me would be welcome at any time. But at this particular moment, in the aftermath of Friday's tragic fire at Windsor, it is especially so. The Queen's remarks made international news, and the phrase, meaning terrible year or disastrous year, is a play on a better known to describe a year of great personal or political misfortune. In 1992, the royal family's numerous scandals included marriage difficulties for three of the Queen's children, which garnered extensive press coverage. Early in the year, her son Prince Andrew separated from Sarah Ferguson, Duchess of York. This news was followed in April by the divorce of Elizabeth's daughter, Princess Anne, from Captain Mark Phillips. In the summer of a newly published unauthorised biography of Diana, Princess of Wales, a consort of Queen Elizabeth's heir, Prince Charles, now King Charles, of course, revealed details of the couple's unhappy marriage, adding to tabloid gossip. Then, as mentioned, the November fire that caused extensive damage to Windsor Castle. The sympathetic correspondent, apparently, was the Queen's former assistant private secretary, Sir Edward Ford, who had written to Elizabeth's private secretary expressing sympathy for the Queen's troubles. Ford's expression played on the better known phrase annus mirabilis, Latin for miraculous year or wondrous year, the use of which the English dates back to the 15th century publication of John Dryden's epic poem Annus Mirabilis in 1667. Dryden's poem commemorates two victories by the English fleet over the Dutch and the City of London's survival after the Great Fire of 1666. Healing faith begins with surrender. It acknowledges our human limitations and declares, God, I trust you. Whether you are seeking physical healing, emotional restoration, or spiritual renewal, faith positions you to receive what only God can give. Jesus said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. The Christian journey is a walk of faith, perseverance, and hope in the promises of God. Hebrews 6, verse 12 is both a warning and an encouragement, calling us to avoid spiritual sluggishness and to follow the example of faithful saints who trusted in God's promises despite challenges. This passage speaks to the heart of what it means to preserve Persevere in faith even when circumstances seem bleak. As we reflect on our own circumstances, we will explore three key truths. Firstly, the warning against laziness. Secondly, the call to copy those who have gone before. And three, the key elements of inheriting God's promises. This verse begins with a clear admonition. We do not want you to become lazy. Other translations use the word sluggish or dull. Spiritual laziness is a subtle but dangerous condition that can creep into the life of any believer. It's not about physical activity, but a lack of zeal, passion, and diligence in pursuing God's will. Prayerlessness is a lack of consistent praying and weakens our relationship with God and makes us vulnerable to discouragement. Prayer is also a wonderful tool if we understand how it works. We know that it begins when we first seek the Lord for salvation and ask his forgiveness. Psalm 66, verse 18 reminds us, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." All of God's great miracles follow on from doing what God says. One outstanding example of this is the man in John's Gospel who was born blind. In John 9, verse 6 and 7, it says, "After saying this, Jesus was speaking to disciples who did sin, this man or his parents." Jesus said, "None, but that the works of God would be made manifest." He spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. What a wonderful outworking of the obedient heart of the man. One opposite example of this is in the story of Achan in Joshua chapter 6, where one man, part of a company of 2 to 3 million people moving into the promised land, disobeyed an instruction from God, hid some money and possessions in his tent. From that moment, nothing worked positive for the people of God. And before the people of God could move on, they needed to discover the sin and remove it from the company. John reminds us in his letter, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Our challenge here is to ask the Lord if there is anything we must confess before we can move on. Prayer continues in our daily lives as we spend time alone in his presence. Matthew says, "When you pray, enter into your closet and shut the door." Paul also reminds us that when we become children of God, the Holy Spirit enters our life and there is a cry that rises to God, "Abba, Father." Then there is that expression of prayer we call intercession. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "They that wait upon the Lord." This verse will always stand out as a clear personal illustration of God's amazing power to answer the cry of the weak. I was at the end of a 10-day stay in hospital after rupturing a disc in my back when the surgeon told me that the only answer to the issue was surgery. The thought terrified me. In my desperation, I cried out to the Lord that he would heal me. As soon as I had prayed this verse came into my heart, Isaiah 40:31, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I took this as God's answer and asked the nurse if I could see the surgeon, that I may ask him if I could go home. He quite remarkably agreed. I called to Francis to pick me up, and I can remember shuffling out of the hospital and slowly return to fitness. I was to learn later that the injury still remained, but the pain was no more. Psalm 37, verse 7 also reminds us, rest and wait patiently, one of the keys of the secret of receiving the promise of God. Men and women through the centuries have proven that not every prayer is answered immediately. It takes time for God to work, and we must often wait God's time. Daniel reminds us that when he sought God in the days of Cyrus, it was only after he had prayed for 3 weeks that he heard the voice of God. He records this in his book. At the sound of it, I fainted, fell flat on the ground, facing the dirt. A hand touched me and pulled me to my hands and knees. Daniel, he said, man of quality, listen carefully to my message and get up on your feet, stand at attention. I've been sent to bring you news. When he had said this, I stood up. I was still shaking. Relax, Daniel, he continued. Don't be afraid. From that moment you decided to humble yourself to receive understanding, your prayer was heard, and I set out to come to you. We know, as we read on in the story, that the Lord had to do some battling on his way. Daniel, be not lazy or slothful of them, but they're followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We must also remember to continue to study God's word. When we stop studying the Bible, we lose sight of God's promises and instructions for our lives. We must be diligent in putting into practice the things we have learned. The new year is a wonderful moment to revive the habit of reading through the scriptures in a year. Hebrews 5, verse 11 warns us about becoming dull of hearing, where we no longer respond to God's voice or grow in our understanding of his truth. Laziness in the faith is dangerous because it leads to stagnation, which can result in spiritual regression. To combat laziness, we must remain intentional in cultivating our spiritual discipline. Christian life is not a passive experience, but an active journey of growth, service, and obedience. The second part of the verse urges us to call to copy those who have gone before. God has given us countless examples in Scripture in the lives of the saints who trusted him and persevered to the end. In the verses following this passage in Hebrews 6, the writer highlights Abraham, as we've mentioned before, waited 25 years for the fulfillment of God's promise of a son. Despite the delay in trying to fulfill it their own way, him and Sarah, Abraham believed God, and his faith was credited to him as righteousness. This is what Romans 4 tells us about this story. He says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Another character worth mentioning at this juncture is Joseph, who at 17 endured betrayal, slavery, and imprisonment, yet he trusted God's plan. Through years of suffering, he remained faithful and saw God's promises fulfilled in his life. The ultimate example, of course, is Jesus, who endured the cross for the joy set before him. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3 reminds us, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, these that we look back on, those that we can look to encourage our faith, he says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. Each story reminds us that faith is not just about believing in God's promises, but actively living in anticipation of their fulfillment. Imitating the faith of others helps us stay encouraged and focused. Hebrews 12:1, as we've read, describes a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on in our spiritual race. By learning from their lives, we are inspired to remain steadfast. Who are the people of faith in your life that inspire you? Surround yourself with godly influences and study the lives of biblical heroes to strengthen your resolve. The final part of the verse points to the combination of faith and patience as how we inherit God's promises. These two qualities are inseparable in the life of a believer. Faith, clearly not just saving faith, by which every Christian is enabled to receive the salvation of God, nor the faithfulness which comes as a fruit of the Holy Spirit as he works in the believer. Peter reminds us of those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Saviour Jesus Christ. Faith is the foundation of our relationship with God. Hebrews 11, verse 1, defines faith as confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith believes in the unseen and trusts God's character even when circumstances suggest otherwise. Faith acknowledges that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. While faith looks forward with confidence, patience holds steady in the present. It is the ability to endure trials, delays, and opposition without losing heart. I can remember at the end of one message on faith, I said to the congregation, if you have faith this morning, you can ask God to do anything and he will do it for you. It was undoubtedly a prophetic word for someone, a word of faith by the Spirit. Jesus reminded his disciples in Mark's gospel that if you have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Well, one lady in that meeting, and there were quite a good couple of hundred, I don't know how many people ask God for things, but I know this lady did. She asked God that he would save her husband in the evening meeting. He was not a Christian. He did not attend church, although we did see him from time to time at a social event. He was a good man. He loved his family. She returned home that day and made her request. He agreed and joined her at the evening meeting. In those days, we had open meetings. Nothing was planned. The musician's task was to pick up songs and hymns begun by those who had attended and put them in the right key if needed. There would have been prophetic ministry, speaking with tongues and interpretation of tongues. The leader's responsibility was to keep the meeting on track, not to direct it. During that meeting, three young men brought a word of prophecy, and the man responded. And it was my privilege to pray with him after the service, and I can confirm 40 years or more later, he is still loving and serving the Lord through faith and patience. Patience is the ability to endure difficulty without complaint, to be long-suffering, one of the fruits of the Spirit. 1 Peter 3, verse 20 illustrates patience. When Peter wrote about the flood, he says, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. The Bible records that that task took Noah 120 years. James, in his letter, reminds us that trials produce patience, making us mature and complete. Waiting on God in prayer refines our desires and strengthens our dependence on Him. Faith without patience can lead to frustration, while patience without faith can lead to hopelessness. Together, they enable us to persevere until we see God's promises fulfilled. Hebrews 6, verse 12 assures us that the promises of God are inherited by those who remain faithful and patient. What are these promises? The greatest promise is the gift of salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13 reminds us that God promises never leave us or to never leave us or forsake us. God promises to meet all our needs according to his riches in glory. That's what Paul said to the Philippians. The promises of God are sure because they are based on his changing nature. Hebrews 6, verse 12 calls us to live lives marked by diligence, imitation of the faithful, and perseverance through faith and patience. It reminds us that the Christian journey is not a sprint, but a marathon. As we reflect on this verse, let's ask ourselves three things. Am I growing lazy in my faith? Or am I actively pursuing God's will? Who are the examples of faith and patience in my life that I can learn from? I guess some of us may find that in reading books or listening to messages of men and women that have lived this Christian life in the decades before us. Here's the important one. Am I trusting God's promises with unwavering faith and enduring patience? I guess this message has been marked out a little by my own circumstances this year. And I tell you, I am learning and I want to learn from God, his will and purpose for my life and that of Francis. Let us heed the call to persevere, knowing that God is faithful to fulfill every promise he has made. May we be inspired to run the race with endurance, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let me pray as we close. Heavenly Father, thank you for the assurance of your promises. Help us to avoid spiritual laziness and to imitate those who have lived by faith and patience. Strengthen our trust in you and give us the endurance to wait for the fulfillment of your plan. May we inherit all that you have promised to the glory of your name. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.